You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
It is Wednesday, the 15th of February, and spring training is in full gear as we are talking Reds baseball today with Mark Sheldon, our Reds reporter. Mark, thank you as always for the time. And, of course, the big news of the week this past weekend, actually, the news that Brandon Phillips is now an ex-Red as he is sent to the Braves in his home states of Georgia to play for his hometown team, and a pair of minor league pitchers coming to Cincinnati in that deal. And, Mark, is this something you saw coming at least a little bit, or did this trade kind of knock you sideways a little bit?
Well, I think it knocked a lot of people sideways in the sense it just came together very quickly. As you may remember, there was a trade in the works that we learned about in January, but back in November, the Reds had an opportunity to trade Phillips to the Braves, and Phillips uses his no trade rights to block the trade, and GM Dick Williams had kind of given up on the idea, and they were preparing for Phillips to come to camp and have four middle infielders trying to make that work. And when the Braves found out late last week that Sean Rodriguez, who they signed after Phillips turned them down, was going to be out 3 to 5 months for shoulder surgery from his car accident, the Braves placed another call to the Reds, and this time Phillips was more open to waiving his no trade, and the deal came together pretty quickly. Reds didn't really have a lot of leverage. They picked up 13 of the $14 million in Phillips' salary, and they got two minor leaguers that are not considered prospects in any way, shape, or form. They're not going to be in big league camp. So, things kind of came together quick. And literally on the first day I got here, I landed, and I drove straight to the Reds complex for a media session with Dick Williams. So it was an interesting way to start camp for sure.
Yeah, I'll say. And like you said, this thing came together so fast, it kind of caught everybody off guard. And now you never like to hear about anybody having the sort of a misfortune that Sean Rodriguez did. As you said, he's going to be out between 3 and 5 months due to a car accident. But if you're Brandon Phillips and you catch wind of this, and then you know that trade talks are being revisited, in his mind, did he kind of say, well, maybe I'm more open to a trade now because I am going to get some playing time with this guy hurt? Is that kind of what triggered this whole thing?
No, I think it is more, and I can't speak for him because I have not spoken to him yet, but I got the impression is that just during the off season in general, since November, there was Reds Fest, was in December, they had the winter meetings as well, that I think the Reds had a pretty frank conversation with him that kind of let him know his playing time was not going to be the same as it had been in the past. He's always been a guy that's played 150 games or so, and they wanted Jose Peraza to play more. Whether it be at second base or shortstop or in left or center field, but primarily in that middle infield. And they also eventually want to make room for Dilson Herrera and see what he has. Phillips obviously wasn't going to be back after 2017, no matter what. And they really all wanted to find out what they had in Peraza and Herrera. So I think that may have greased the wheels a little bit, so to speak, and helped make move that deal along. I don't know how much he cared about going home to Atlanta or not, but I think he realized that his opportunities were going to be drying up a little bit in Cincinnati, and I think it was just time to move on. I think the only other options Reds would have had, honestly, is if they really wanted to get Peraza involved, they would have had to release him. And you didn't want him to come to camp and have an uncomfortable situation, and I think this ended up working well for both sides. Reds got rid of Phillips. They didn't lose the salary yet, obviously, because they had to eat so much of it, but now Jose Peraza is the everyday second baseman, and Dilson Herrera is going to have a chance to make the team. Zach Cozart is still the shortstop, and until further notice, and we'll see what they have.
Yeah, it's funny how things have a way of working out sometimes with this whole transaction where Phillips is now a member of the Atlanta Braves, and of course that is the obvious other half of this equation. With Phillips gone, it really opens up playing time for Peraza and for Dilson Herrera, like you mentioned. And if you had to pick, I guess, one word to describe the feeling in the organization now that this is a done deal and Phillips is no longer, blocking the younger guys, would that word be relief? Is that kind of the best way to describe how the Reds feel about this whole thing right now?
I think it's somewhat relieving. I mean, Brian Price had a conundrum on his hands to try to figure out how is he going to get enough playing time in spring and then even in the season to figure out how Cozart and Phillips, two guys who have earned the right to play every day, could make way for two younger guys. And you know, Brian was pretty adamant that, that Jose Peraza to him was a regular player, that he had showed enough of what he could do in the 70-plus games he played last season while hitting 324, that he merited everyday playing time somehow. And for Brian, that was a conundrum, to say the least. So this way, it does kind of free things up. Now Peraza is penciled in as the everyday second baseman, and Herrera is going to have to try to take the Peraza role of playing maybe multiple times a week at different positions. And the one problem for him is that he's only a second baseman, so he's going to have to really bone up on third base and other spots to see if he have a chance to make the team, because otherwise they may have to have him be a Triple-A to play every day.
And, of course, you know, I think this is one of those classic trades where it's addition by subtraction in the classic sense. But nonetheless, you know, we are talking about a guy in Brandon Phillips who does have a proven track record. The guy did hit in the 290s last year. He still is versatile and valuable. So given all that, is there still a little bit of disappointment that the two guys that got in return, as you said at the top of the podcast, are by no means highly touted prospects? You know, could the Reds or should the Reds have gotten back a little bit more for a guy that, again, does have a proven track record?
No, I mean, not at all. They're lucky they got anything, honestly. I mean, you have to really, if you really look at it, he's going to be 36 years old in a couple months. He had the no trade thing going. The salary was a big handcuff. You know, I know you said he hit 290s, but a lot of his other numbers really weren't that flashy. He's been, you know, having diminishing returns both offensively and defensively. His speed isn't what it once was. You could thank him for the years he had, but that doesn't mean that the players that are going to come back should warrant, you know, the kind of prime of his career. It's warranting where he is now. And when you're having a divorce like this, you sometimes don't worry about the assets and what you're splitting up. You just want it to be over and you move on. And I think they decided, let's move on. And for him, he got a soft landing. I think this worked out better for him than he could have imagined. He could have, like I said, been released. And then that would have been just not as a good of a way to go out after an 11-year career. He's going to be a Reds Hall of Famer for sure, but you don't want to see his career with the Reds end that way. And now he's got a trade. He's got a chance to prove himself in Atlanta and play in a new stadium and see what happens.
Yeah, good point. This worked out great for everybody involved. Like you said, the outcome of this for Phillips personally could have been a lot worse than him landing with an up-and-coming Atlanta club. He can provide some veteran presence and leadership, and the Reds' infield situation really sorts itself out well. And, Mark, in reading, you know, your coverage of the trade and talking about Phillips himself, I get the feeling that, and this is not a newsflash by any means, that he's one of the more complex players you've ever covered. It seems like, on one hand, very beloved by the fans. He's a guy that interacts on social media, a guy that will sign autographs till his hand gets tired. On the other hand, he's had some incidents in the clubhouse with some teammates. So, again, going back to the original point, of all the guys that you've covered in all the years covering this Reds team, would he be right at the top of the list or near the top in terms of one of the more complex players you've seen?
Yeah, certainly. He's definitely in that list. I don't know if we've talked about this in the past or not, but over the last few years especially, there's been instances where he wasn't speaking to me or speaking to members of the media at all. I think Phillips and I went through a two-year stretch where I did not interview him one time. He wouldn't talk to me. I know he did that with other writers as well. And, you know, there was a time when he signed a six-year, $72 million contract in 2012. He went to a magazine and said it was a slap to the face, which is a very odd, you know, comment for that kind of contract, because he didn't like it that Joey Votto got his mega contract done first and he had to wait for Votto's, and then he got his, and he found that to be disrespectful for whatever reason. He also got into it with one of my colleagues. It was caught on camera. He's screaming and, you know, being verbally abusive and in Dusty Baker's office. It was all caught on camera, and it was a very, very ugly scene. And those are the kind of things that kind of detract from some of the things that he did that were positive. He had a very positive run, like what they said, with the fans, and he had a flashy style that was definitely popular and brought him on the highlight reels all the time, and you know, certainly national television loved him. But definitely some mixed stuff there that didn't go so well for him. But I think overall his Reds career was a success. He came in over in 2006 in April after opening day as a designated for assignment player from the Indians, who ran out of chances up there. And Wayne Krivsky traded for him for a guy named Jeff Stevens, a minor leaguer, and it was a fantastic trade for the Reds. no matter what you say.
Yeah, no question. And Mark, if you don't mind me asking, what was his issue with you in particular? Was it just you were part of the of a overall media boycott, or was there something in particular with you where you went the 2 years without speaking?
I think it was a little bit of both. I don't remember the exact story, but I had written a story that he did not care for, and he stopped talking. And honestly, it's funny, I don't even remember the story anymore. But there was something that didn't really go his way. There was another set time in 2010, I think, when we weren't really simpatico either. So it comes and it goes, you know. Like this past year, I will say this, we didn't really speak at all, I think, during 2014 and 2015. But last season, when I did try to interview him, he was very cordial, and he was professional, and he did the interviews. And then the last time I interviewed him was at the winter meetings this past year. And, I have to say, he was very nice. He wasn't truthful about it. He was asked whether he had talked about the trade stuff, and it turned out that there was a trade attempt in November that he decided not to mention, or he said nothing was going on. So. But other than that, it was a very good conversation, and so I wish him well.
Yeah, as I'm sure most Reds fans do, he's now a member of the Atlanta Braves, and life goes on, as they say. And Mark, in the final minute or two that we have here, just give us your thoughts on Homer Bailey. That was the other big news before the Phillips trade. Another setback for him, and where does this put him? What does this do to the Reds' rotation?
Yeah, it's definitely a big blow to lose Homer Bailey. Even though he was coming off Tommy John surgery, they were counting on his veteran presence and to provide a good chunk of innings, and now they're going to have to replace. It's going to be a young staff already. They only have really three starters they can count on. This now leaves two rotation spots open at the back end, and you're going to see young guys like Cody Reed, Robert Stevenson, Amir Garrett, plus Tim Adelman. They just got a guy, Bonilla, from the Pirates off of waivers, who's going to be in the mix for the competition. And, of course, Bronson Arroyo is here as a non-roster player, and he's going to be in the battle for that spot as well. But without Homer Bailey available now until at least the beginning of June, he's already on the 60-day disabled list, there are going to be some thin for enough guys that can pick up those innings. You can't assume that any of those prospects can fill that void. You have to see them do it on the mound, but that's what they're hoping to do. I don't think they're going to pick up another pitcher. And they're going to have to wait for Homer Bailey to come back from now his third elbow surgery.
Yeah, very interesting week for the Reds, to say the very least. Mark Sheldon, we appreciate the time as always, and we'll do it again soon. In the meantime, it's Matt Wehmeyer signing off for MLB.com Extras, Cincinnati Reds.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go, every night on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.